All right, Solomon chapter 2, Song of Solomon, that is, chapter 2. Here, again, Solomon is going to share the wisdom which God has given to him, which has to do with grace for salvation. The wisdom and knowledge and understanding which God granted to him, as we read about that in 2 Chronicles 1:11, as well as also 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. So we see how God granted Solomon wisdom, and this wisdom was to direct the children of God. So here we can see how the stewardship by this anointing is bringing understanding to those of that of this century and of this covenant, and giving them understanding. So you can make a note on that. 2 Chronicles 1:11. I'm going to turn there. 2 Chronicles 1:11. Okay. In that night, now this is after Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon the altar, and Solomon went up there to the brazen altar before the Lord, which is at the tabernacle congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Okay, so Solomon came to the contact point which God sanctified, and Solomon had faith in his heart. Okay, so Solomon offering his sacrifices, now this was his charity towards God. Okay, the physical substance of the altar, which was the, here we can see the burnt offerings here is concerning the bullock, the ram, the lamb, and the kid of the goats. So he's offering these sacrifices, not him personally, only Levite, the sons of Kohath, and those of Levi were qualified to offer sacrifices. But here he brought his offerings, 1,000 burnt offerings. Now in that night, we can see how God communicates. So God communicates at this point, the point of contact, which has to do with the sacrifice of his faith. So in that night, God appear unto Solomon, and he said unto him, ask what you will. Okay, ask what I shall give you. Okay, so I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 here. Ask what I shall give you. Okay, and Solomon said unto God, now this is his point of mercy. Okay, his mercy is in his tools. Okay, now the tools of the second covenant is Jesus Christ. In his mercy towards us is through the gifts of his propitiation. So here we can see under the first covenant, okay, the gifts were which God gave were offered back to him. Okay, now God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And here Solomon is taking this gift which God has granted to him to offer these things in sacrifice, okay, which has to do with putting to death the aspiration for faith, okay, the shedding of blood, okay, for the forgiveness of sin. So faith is replacing the aspiration. Now when faith replaces the aspiration, we can see the mercy of God manifesting himself. Now in that night, the God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. So here we see a petition to the stewardship. Now Solomon, at this point, he said unto God, you have showed great mercy unto David my father. So I like the word mercy there. Mercy is in his tools. Okay, God's the mercy was revealed through the stewardship. The stewardship at this point was David, my father, he says. And you have have made me to reign in this place. Okay, Solomon is identifying the apostolic appointment to fit in the shoes of his father, which was the steward of this week, which is now the fifth week. The pattern which God gave to Moses is still being expressed at this point of time, but a new pattern was given to the stewardship of David, being the fifth week, to pass on this knowledge to his son, which is Solomon. And Solomon is now requesting of God the next step in the stages of this development. What he's petitioning God is that David, my father, received a pattern of the Spirit from you. Shall I proceed with this and build this temple, which David, my father, received by the Spirit? Is this the appointed time to carry this tradition, or should we continue on with Moses? How shall I lead your people? Okay, which way is the Spirit moving as concerning bringing them out and bringing them in? So he have showed great mercy. So I had the word mercy there in verse 8, and David my father, and have made me to reign in his stead to carry this tradition. Now he says, now, O Lord God, okay, let your promise unto David my father be established as concerning the true root of faith. Okay, the true root of faith, because we can see that this true root of faith, which God revealed to David, Solomon carried out and constructed, fell into disarray 1,000 years later, Okay, where the Spirit of the Lord says, through John the Baptist, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. This is the tree, they which became corrupted. Okay, it became corrupted through the ministers of unrighteousness 1,000 years later. You can see that the phases it went through. Now, this is the beginning of it, as point of origin began in its purity of faith, but 1,000 years later, it lost that purity, and of course, it fell into defilement through the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the instruction of the scholars and the scribes at that time. They replaced faith with their scholastic knowledge. Okay, the precept became the compass or the eyes to guide them instead of the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, Jesus said, I am the eye. But the Pharisee says, no, but the text and traditions of Moses is our eye. So now, he says here in verse 9, now, O Lord God, let your promise unto David my father be established. For you have made me king over people, like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in. Okay, so we highlight the word wisdom and knowledge, because we can see here how the Spirit is defining grace for us. Okay, this is the grace which Solomon is receiving in order to lead the people within the construction of the temple. Okay, God is also doing the same thing today as he did it here in the fifth week in his tradition. He's also doing the second and eighth week in his tradition. This is the tradition which the Apostle Paul was speaking of. Not that tradition of Moses, but the tradition which he received through the chief elders, through Peter, James, and John. That tradition he was establishing, not the tradition of man, which is the commandments of men. You know, the commandments of men are rooted within the issues and the social issues of the world. That's the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man wants to resolve the issues of the world by the commandments of God. Okay? And by doing that, they polluted the covenant. The commandments of God are with the covenant. The commandments of God are not with the issues of this world. So give me now, he says, wisdom and knowledge. Now we know wisdom has to do as concerning giving direction. So Solomon again is reflecting upon the pattern his father David, King David, received for the construction of this temple, removing the that which Moses received, which had to do with animal skins, at the tabernacle, into the stones of the temple. So it went from skin to stone, and then went from stone to skin again, which has to do with that which is within our own heart. So give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in. That's to follow the Spirit in all the seasons. This is what we're doing. See, God has given the church wisdom again. He's restoring eyes to the church, to the stewardship, and that the church now is understanding what it means to follow the Spirit, to go in and out. And God did not say for the common people to construct a shrine of their own, that would appeal to themselves. That's not what it means to be follow the Spirit, or be led of the Spirit, to construct a shrine that reflect one's own personal gospel or doctrines. But we can see that which is constructed, has to come through the anointed stewardship. It's through that the poor have the gospel preached to them. Okay? It's through that the prisoners are set free from that prison house. Well, the poor had to do with those which were held captive, and the prisoners were those which were held captive under that which is of Satan's shadow, the false religious system. So give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. And that's the same thing Jesus said to Nicodemus. The wind blows where it lists. It goes in and it goes out. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So Jesus was referring to himself. I'm leading these people, and he did that. He led them out into the wilderness. When he led them out into the wilderness, it was a reflection upon Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. So John the Baptist, in his preaching, took the people from the temple into the wilderness. Jesus also took the people into the wilderness. But at the same time that he took them into the wilderness, he led them in confirmation to Moses when people were delivered from demons and healed. The Jews were addressed, now go show yourself to the priests and offer sacrifice for this deliverance, in confirmation of Moses. Because Jesus was fulfilling all things in regarding the law. He was fulfilling those things in himself. So here we can see and that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this your people that is so great? Okay, so hide the word judge. Can a judge, which means that's to set policy. Okay, how can I possibly do this? Which Solomon is saying, how can I possibly do this apart from the Godhead? Okay, I need your mind in order to guide these people and to fulfill the lot which you assigned for me to fulfill. Well, let's see what God says here. We're in Second Chronicles chapter 1, because we're expounding on the Song of Solomon here. Now, God said to Solomon, because there's no aspiration, and no aspiration was in this desire, because this was in your heart, that you have not asked riches, wealth, or honor, which has to do with the commandments of men, with the things of the world, okay, nor the life of your enemies, neither yet have you asked long life. But you have asked for wisdom and knowledge. Now again, wisdom gives direction, and knowledge has to do with the accumulation of facts. Yeah, by these things, the facts which I'm going to give you are going to set order in the minds of the people for faith. For your, you have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, okay, that you may judge my people, over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted to you. Okay, now in addition to this, now Lostri says, and I will give you riches, wealth, and honor. Okay, so we can see that these are gifts of his propitiation, okay, to make atonement for the people. Okay, and through these gifts which he's given eyes to the church again. Okay, and he, in Solomon's time, 3,000 years ago, the Lord was given eyes to the people. Now, the eyes of the people was not the parchment. Okay, the eyes of the people was the stewardship. And this is what he says, I'm going to give you. That's the person. So when Isaiah is prophesying regarding the anointing, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, not it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, which is the person which God elected to be the eyes for the church. Okay, the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding. Now let's go back to Song of Solomon here. Okay, now going back to Song of Solomon, he says, I am the rose of Sharon, okay, and the lily of the valleys. Now, it's interesting through Solomon's apostolic stewardship, okay, he says, I'm the rose of Sharon. Now, he's going to be setting contrast for us. He calls himself the rose, the lily, the apple tree, okay, the fruit of the apple tree. Okay, this is the fruit that's sweet to the taste, okay, which is found within the house of God, the banqueting house. Okay, the place of festivities, okay, with it is within the knowledge of the stewardship, the assembly of the righteous. So I'm the rose of Sharon. So here he says, this is my stewardship. My stewardship, now we just read about that. I'm going to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So when he says, I'm the rose of Sharon, he's identifying that stewardship. So my stewardship brings fruit. It brings equity to the eye. That's for faith, equity, peace, and rest. Okay, so the Spirit is going to make distinction and bring separation to manifest the hearts. Okay, so when Solomon was constructing the temple, there were those which were in direct opposition to that. Okay, they were looking at Solomon as departing from the tradition of Moses. He wasn't departing from the tradition of Moses. Okay, he was still keeping the record of Moses. Okay, but the vessel. Okay, concerning the expression of faith was changing from skin to stone. Okay, but he wasn't removing the tokens. Like he didn't say, well, we don't need the altar anymore. We don't need the Ark of the Covenant anymore. We don't need the table of showbread anymore. Now, he didn't say that. Okay, but he did say the tokens which were given to Moses were now for the tabernacle of the wilderness, the tabernacle of the congregation, which was that of skin. Okay, I was now put within that which was in stone. So when he goes on here, I'm the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. So he calls himself the rose and the lily here, which is pure white conscience. Okay, the pure white conscience. Okay, those which are humble of spirit have the pure white conscience as a lily of the valley. Okay, well, being humble in spirit, because faith is the fragrance of his house. Faith is the fragrance of his house, the rose and the lily. Okay, now he's going to give contrast, as the Apostle Paul also gives the church contrast between that which is good and that which is not good, okay, between the holy and the profane. So we see the holy and profane here as a lily among the thorns. Now, the thorns, he's using the word thorns, is concerning the protesters, the Levites, which protested the change. Okay, the Levites, which protested the change, okay, also persecuted David, and though he was a king. Okay, they were very doctrinally adamant against the stewardship which he was claiming, even though Samuel anointed him. But you notice when Samuel anointed David, okay, it was not within the eyesight of all the Levites. It was only in the eyesight of one family, okay, the house of Jesse. Okay, David, the son of Jesse. All right, and it was within secretive. It was very secretive, which means it was concealed, okay, from the activity of the religious world. Okay, it was concealed from the activity of the religious world. Okay, and so because it was concealed from the activity of the religious world, okay, many of the carnal-minded Levites, okay, openly protested. That says, well, we didn't see Samuel anoint you. Okay, you said that Samuel anointed you in secret. Well, they were addressing and accusing David of, okay, is taking ownership of something, okay, something that was secretive, as the Apostle Paul spoke about, okay, in the book of Acts. He said, now this thing was not done in a corner. Okay, now David's anointing was done in a corner, okay, but Jesus' sacrifice was openly, okay, openly manifested. Okay, his ministry was openly manifested. Okay, because Jesus is establishing the fulfillment of the scriptures spoken through all the prophets, even Enoch. Wrote down these things, okay, by the Spirit, considering when the Messiah comes, okay, he would be a doer of great miracles. Okay, also showed a tradition of Melchizedek. Okay, and Moses spoke also, okay, of the prophet that would come, would be just like himself in great miracles. So here we can see a contrast, lily among thorns, and you're also a lily among thorns. Okay, those of covenant faith are the lily. Those of the thorns are those which are absent of the fragrance of Christ. Okay, they're not a rose, okay, they're a thorn. So as a lily among the thorns, okay, those which are pure in heart. Okay, contrasting that the pure white flower, the concenter among the thorns, which are the protesters. Okay, so is my love among the daughters. Okay, so is my love, which is my charity. My charity is expressed there, okay, in the assembly of the righteous. So is my love among the daughters. Now, the reason why he assigns daughters here is because he's saying those among the virgins, which will bear seed for the king. And that's what we do. See, we are as chaste virgins bearing seed for the king, as we see in the book of Revelation. Okay, the 144,000 also were dressed in like manner, okay, considering they're as chaste virgins. They were without fault before him. Okay, without fault before him, which means the knowledge which they received through Enoch and Elijah purified their hearts in the covenant. Okay, that is the covenant of Jesus Christ. It purified their hearts, and they did not entwine the knowledge, okay, with the mother of harlots, which would be the thorns. The mother of harlots, the false religious system. Okay, the false religious system which was dominating the minds of the people being the thorns. Okay, the 144,000, okay, did not glean in their valley. Okay, they were the lily of the valley, but they were not the thorns of the valley. So as a lily among the thorns, so is my love, because the expression of charity among in the assembly of the righteous to mate with Christ, okay, among the daughters. Now he also addresses himself as the apple tree, and that's what we are, as the fruitful ones. The language of the covenant identifies the tree, okay, which we're growing on, and that's why Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Okay, the knowledge which you speak will be the language of my kingdom, which is going to be different, okay, than the trees of the field. Okay, the trees of the field, the trees which are absent the fruit. The trees which are absent the fruit will communicate, okay, that which is of death. Okay, but the trees which are full of fruit will communicate that which is full of life. And Jesus says, I am the true vine. Okay, and you are the branches. Abide in me, which means continue to communicate this language of faith, okay, which would be the faith, the language and faith of the covenant. Okay, so we're children of the covenant. We're as the apple of the tree, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Now see, he's identifying a contrast again. Now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. We're not cutting down apple trees. God's not cutting down the apple trees. He's not removing the fruitful ones. He's removing the ungodly, which is the unfruitful ones. This is a time of great decisions. The time of great decisions where God is separating the wheat from the tares and the sheep from the goats. The angels have been set forth and they're dividing. He's bundling the tares to burn them. They're going to go through the tribulation. As we see also unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, regarding Jezebel. Jezebel was considered as a tare. Now God gave her a chance to convert. God gave her a chance to convert through the stewardship of the Apostle John. But she elected to stand independent of the stewardship. And so he says, I will cast her and her children into a bed. And I will kill them. And that's strong language, for a God of charity to speak. But God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God, and she, Jezebel, was provoking God to anger, with her doctrines, as the doctrines of Nicolaitans. The doctrine of Nicolaitans, is a mixture, of that of Moses with Christ. So there were those of 2,000 years ago which were mixing, the covenant of Moses, as well as Abraham, with the covenant of Jesus Christ. You're observing the Sabbath day, and you're still ingesting the physical communion, as well as also tithing, and their priesthood. The priesthood was still tethered to death. So here he says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So as an apple tree is the fruitful are the godly, which means the fruitful ones. Those which are in covenant are the fruitful ones. And with faith and patience, we're bringing forth fruit. With faith and patience, we're bringing forth fruit, which means we're going through the many cycles and seasons of purging, as God is removing the tokens of our previous life, which has to do with the aspiration, our previous life, because we died. We are crucified with Christ, which means we have died, that we might live unto him. The death of the aspirations, the suffering which we're going through, the death of the aspiration, which has to the voices of man, the echoes of this world. The echoes of the world, we live by the echoes of the world when we're in that kingdom, and we're walking in darkness. But now we're walking in the light, which means we are heeding the voice of the Lord. When we heed the voice of the Lord, we are as the apple tree. We are fruitful. We're abiding in him, and he is abiding in us. So we are accepting the terms of the covenant. By accepting the terms of the covenant, he is the Lord, which means we're putting on Christ. So as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. Now remember, Solomon is identifying himself through the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding which God gave to him, which we read about there in 2 Chronicles 1:11, which is the same thing in 1 Kings 3:11. That Solomon is using this anointing in order to address this relationship. You notice that he's addressing the relationship as a stewardship. The things which he's speaking about here in the Song of Solomon has to do with the relationship of faith. But he's not talking about concerning that which is of the covenant or the shedding of blood of the animal. He's not talking about that. The relationship is not in the carnal thing, but it's in the spirit. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Because the trees of the wood, those which are barren, though the unfruitful or the ungodly, which are barren. They're barren. They're not bearing seed for the house of the king. But as the apple tree, so is my beloved among the sons. Which has to do with that Solomon is identifying himself as I am of those that sat at the table of my father, King David, and I heard his, and I the knowledge that she was sharing was my food, which I was eating. But my Christ is fruitful. And so he says, you are elected from your brothers. As Jesus, was elected from his brothers, the brothers of Joseph. Okay, he was elected from among men. So also David was elected from among his brothers. Okay, now the elder brother, okay, was brought first. Okay, but the elder, as the scripture says, shall serve the younger, which is Jesus. The elder shall serve the younger. Esau was to serve Jacob. Okay, as also Ishmael was to serve Isaac, and as also Cain was to serve his brother Abel. Okay, but Cain resisted the servitude to his brother Abel, which is a man of faith. Even as Esau was divided or separated from his father's house of Abraham for Isaac to rule. And David was also separated from among his brothers to sit as a king under the anointing of Samuel. Okay, Samuel the seer, or Samuel the prophet. Okay, and Jesus also receiving that anointing, the angel of the Lord now working with him in the capacity of that record, okay, was separated from his father's house. So when one came to him and says, okay, your mother and your brothers are here to see you, and he says, then he pointed to the apostles and the students, he says, this is my family here. My family are those of faith. Okay, my family are those of faith, the stones of the brook. Okay, those of faith are my people. Okay, not those of the flesh. Those of faith. So Jesus, when he's saying stones of the brook, he's talking about that which is concealed. Okay, that which is concealed. Now the reason why he says stones of the brook is because when the children of Israel came across the Jordan River, they were to set 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River. Okay, the 12 stones represented a new beginning, and also a washing of the Spirit. Okay, those which are washed in my Spirit as the stones of this brook, I shall raise as children of Abraham. Okay, which means those of faith, those of covenant faith. Okay, now and then he says right here, I sat down under a shadow, which means he spoke to me in dreams and visions as a stewardship. I sat down under a shadow. When Solomon went to the tabernacle as he slept there, within the proximity of the temple, he sat down under his shadow. And as sitting down under a shadow, he spoke to me. So I sat down under a shadow with great delight, and we do the same thing. Okay, in dreams and in visions. Okay, we sit down under his shadow, and he visits us, and he speaks to us, giving us level 1 dreams, and level 2 dreams, and level 3, okay, dreams and visions, okay, a mark, okay, dreams and visions, a mark, and prophecy, okay, and they shall prophesy, okay, this will be the mark, the things which are given them by the Spirit is what they will profess, this is my testimony, the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I sat down under his shadow as one sleeping, okay, and he gave me delight, which is dreams and visions. Okay, so he gave me delight, and he gave me this light. He gave light to my soul, and this was Solomon's rejoicing, with great delight. Okay, so here he says, I'm listening to his grace, and his fruit was sweet to my taste, as the knowledge of God is sweet to our lips. His fruit is sweet to my taste. Okay, Christ enlarged my heart. That's what Solomon is saying. Christ was enlarging my heart. His fruit was sweet to my taste. So when we take delight in listening to the knowledge of God, our heart is enlarged by faith. Okay, as our heart is enlarged, as the soul is increased, so is the fruit. Okay, same thing. As your land is being cleared, you're clearing your land. Or enlarging the borders of your land in order for increase greater harvest, a greater harvest. Okay, so you're enlarging your land to plow, to sow, and to reap. And the heart is enlarged for the plow, to sow, and to reap. So Christ enlarged my heart. I was saying, his fruit was sweet to my taste. Okay, so Christ and Lord is enlarging my heart with a great experience and understanding. And by these things, Solomon set in order over, what was it, with 3,000 proverbs. And 3,000 proverbs, and kings from all over the world came to visit him. The gospel was preached from Jerusalem throughout the whole world. When they came to hear Solomon, all those kings of the earth that joined themselves to Solomon, their land was cleansed of demonic activity. The demons were bound. Okay, the demons were bound when they joined themselves to the stewardship, okay, that was functioning in the anointing. Solomon's stewardship was functioning under the anointing of God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He was setting the captives free. Okay, those which were poor in heart were receiving the gospel, and that's what Jesus said. Blessed poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Okay, remember Jesus said the same things. Okay, blessed the poor. Okay, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Okay, for they should be filled. So Jesus was filling them with a new knowledge by that anointing which he had received and setting the captives free. They were coming out from the false religious system, okay, which has to do with the kingdom of darkness, okay, into the kingdom of his light. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what Jesus kept saying. Okay, I am that kingdom. I am that house. I am that point of contact. So then he goes on here, and we're in Song of Solomon chapter 2. And his fruit was sweet to my taste, and he brought me to the banqueting house. So having received this experience and this understanding, okay, I received these things while attending to the tabernacle. So he brought me to the banqueting house. The banqueting house is, of course, the table of the righteous. The table of the righteous is full of sacrifices because he offered over 1,000 sacrifices of burnt offerings. Just through that point of contact, God's mercy is great toward him, and Solomon received experience which began to set a path of trust. That's what God does with us. Okay, through his mercy, and his mercy is in his tools, and through our point of contact, we gain trust in him. Okay, this is what he did within my own experience in life. Okay, through this point of contact, okay, the Lord has sustained me. Okay, through the point of contact, the Lord sustained me through many different seasons and many different changes. And that's what the angel said, change to change to change to change. and of course when the angels were singing these things, as my testimony bears out, okay, he says now happening, and it was happening at that time, okay, the change which we were facing, okay, not only physical change, okay, because the Spirit of the Lord set a path of many many different changes, okay, but also spiritual changing, okay, through the cycles of growth. Okay, so through the cycles of growth, my heart was being enlarged with great experience, and through this experience, okay, the trust was being forged. Okay, the trust was being forged; it was taking form. Okay, and this is what God does with us: your trust takes form. Okay, as a smith, as a blacksmith would forge, okay, iron. Okay, it goes in the fire; it goes also through the contact, the hammer. Okay, so the blacksmith is taking the hammer there, and as he's removing you from the fire, he's forging you, okay, through smiting. And God also forges us through smiting, and grace and suffering. So the table of the righteous is full of sacrifices. Okay, this is a covenant name for Moses under Solomon. Okay, of course, the covenant name which is given to us is Jesus Christ. The name has changed, the covenant has changed. When the covenant changes, the name changes. Okay, and that's why the Lord is going to give us a new name. Okay, now we see that in the book of Revelation. Now, why would God give us a new name? Because it's a third covenant. It's a new covenant. Okay, it's within that covenant, okay, where our charity is expressed, okay, through creation. Okay, now your charity is expressed through creation, but our creation right now is through knowledge, the knowledge of charity. Okay, but when we're in the third covenant in the house of our Father, which is the bosom of our Father, okay, our charity is removed from just from the invisible to the visible, okay, from the knowledge to life forms. Okay, the knowledge which we speak in charity is a life form, okay, because the anointing accompanies it, but it's invisible to our eyes. But we're in the house of our Father, okay, we will not create just with knowledge, okay, from the invisible to the invisible, but rather from the invisible to the visible. And a third covenant, so I will give him my new name. Okay, so the name of the covenant of Moses was Jehovah or Yahweh. Okay, the covenant which is given to us through Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ, okay, the Lamb of God. So as we can see, the covenant, when the covenant changed, the name changed for the expression. But you can't put these two together. You can't say I serve Jehovah. No, you don't serve Jehovah. Okay, you must serve Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is Jehovah, that's true, but the name which we serve him is this new name. Okay, the name which was so given to us to serve him, okay, was given by the angel, and you shall call his name Jesus. Okay, you shall not call, it doesn't say you shall call his name, uh, I am that I am, or you know, should not call his name Jehovah Jireh. Okay, people are trying to serve God, okay, in the pronunciation of the ancient names which God gave to that covenant, the covenant of Moses. But God has given us a new name, as was so named by the angel, which is Mary. Okay, and also the name which was given, okay, when the angel visited her, and his name should be called Jesus. This is the Jesus which we serve today, the Jesus of this covenant. Okay, and his name will be changed because the Lord will be one. Okay, the Lord will be one at that time in the third covenant. But let's go back on here. And he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Okay, the banner has to do with the name which we serve him. Okay, the name which we serve him. Under Solomon was Jehovah. Under the banner of love for us is Jesus Christ. And his banner over me is love. So he's talking about the stewardship, and the stewardship carried the name of his ownership. Because the name of ownership was not just a standard of the flesh, but the standard of the spirit. His banner over me is love. Which has to do, the anointing which is upon me is Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus said to his apostles. Okay, when I go away, I'm going to come again to you, but I'm going to come again to you, but in a different form. I'm presently with you in the form of the visible, okay, known as Jesus of Nazareth. But I will come unto you in the form of the invisible, okay, with the expression of the Comforter, or known as the Spirit of Truth. Now he goes on right here. As you get your sacrifices ready here. Okay, stay me with flagons and comfort me with apples. He says right here, stay me with flagons. This is what Jesus did. Okay, when a flagon, which is flagons of wine. One of the first miracles he did there had to do with turning water into wine. Okay, which is identifying with the Song of Solomon. Stay me with flagons, okay, comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. Okay, the covenant of Moses prevented me, which he's saying the covenant of Moses was preventing me from feasting upon the true vine, the grape of the vine, which is Jesus Christ. So when Jesus turned the water into wine, he was identifying himself as a true vine. Okay, and Solomon says, I want to drink of the wine of the true vine. Okay, not the wine which ferments, okay, within the skin, but the true wine which ferments within the heart of God. So stay me with flagons and comfort me with apples. Okay, so he says, this covenant of Moses is preventing me from drinking of the true wine. Okay, so therefore I'm feasting upon the carnal things, which I'll become hungry again, for I'm sick of love. When he says I'm sick of love, he says I feel frustrated, for I desire to know Christ, I desire to know him, but I can't break beyond the veil of my conscience to see him. And that's what he said, I cannot break beyond the veil of my conscience to see him because my conscience is yet defiled, but my faith stands for me. Okay, because my faith stands for me. I continue to feast upon this grace. And then when I feast upon this grace, I'm allowing you to share within the harvest of my vineyard. Okay, now we're going to go to Galatians for a second here. Okay, so let's go to Galatians. Let's see if we can make a connection here. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3 here as you get your sacrifices ready. Now we can see when I spoke about concerning mixing covenants, this is what the Galatians were doing. And Paul says, O foolish Galatians. Now it's interesting that Jesus warned him that caused his brother a fool. Okay, but you notice when Jesus was saying that, he was saying that to the Jews under that covenant, which was taking offense to the principle. It was taking offense to the principle. When he says, he that says his brother is a fool and is in danger of the judgment. But we can see when Jesus was speaking to the Jews, but Paul was speaking to the church. Okay, so Paul was not breaking any golden rule here. Okay, because Paul was building the house of God, okay, by the fullness of Christ. But Jesus was speaking to the Jews, okay, and regarding the establishment of his record. Okay, that's what confuses many Christians, because they read the red letter edition and then they read what Moses gave and what Jesus fulfilled, and then they read what also Paul wrote, and they say, well, I don't believe the Pauline letters because Paul speaks differently to Jesus. I'm just going to believe Jesus. Now see, that fear which they're feeling is that fear of ignorance. The shadow of death is under understanding. See, the reason why the shadow of death is upon their understanding, because they're refusing the stewardship and the due process of the covenant. That's why they're fearful. Okay, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of power. Okay, the power is in an anointing. The anointing is teaching you how to love him now through the terms of this covenant. Okay, which here we see the Apostle Paul is giving, because the Apostle Paul is giving now the Galatians here of Christ's fullness. He's not speaking to the Jews, which are still under the law. He's speaking to the righteous, which is under now the law of grace. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, it's interesting. He didn't say, O Galatians, let the Holy Ghost teach you. You notice the Apostle Paul didn't say that. But you hear people make that claim today, that the Holy Ghost is teaching them. No, the Holy Ghost is not teaching them. If the Holy Ghost was teaching them, okay, the anointing will point them to the terms of the covenant and how to fulfill those things. But instead, the Holy Ghost is not teaching them. Is that seducing spirit. The seducing spirit causes them to wander. Okay, they're still wandering, looking for truth, where the anointing gives it to you. Okay, the anointing gives you the truth. Okay, when Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he gave them truth. Okay, but the Pharisees, okay, who are denying Jesus' stewardship and his claims of being the Messiah, the crown of the derision was still upon them. And they even said that, we cannot tell. Okay, we cannot tell. Okay, yet, even though they could not tell, yet they were still trying to sit in the seat of Moses as being the eyes for the people. Okay, they're still, and of course Jesus says, when you were sitting on the seat of Moses being the eyes of the people, you were poking out their eyes. Okay, you're poking out their eyes, okay, by the stick of the parchment. Okay, but I'm now giving them the healing of the eyes, as Jesus did. When he spit on the soil and put upon the man's eyes, Jesus says, I will give you sight. Look upon me. Look upon me. Now, the O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So highlight the word foolish Galatians. Because all Paul was saying right here, can't you Galatians see the pattern I taught you? Okay, how I taught you why you should, don't listen to those unconverted believers. Listen to those which are in covenant. Don't listen to the wiles of the unconverted believers. The unconverted believers will continually lead you into derision, okay, and they will always sow doubt within your heart. They will sow doubt in your heart concerning the stewardship, but they yet want to convince you, okay, concerning the skill of their own knowledge. Now, when they want to convince you the skill of their own knowledge, what are they doing? They want to sit in Moses' seat. They want to be your eyes. Okay, but the anointing isn't upon them. So if the anointing is not upon them and they want to be your eyes, then who is the one that is giving you, you say, the understanding? Okay, Satan is. That's a seducing spirit. Okay, that's why Paul warned them about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These seducing spirits use the ministers of righteousness. Okay, the ministers of righteousness are those which are using the scale of their own record. Okay, with a text. They're using the scale of their own record with a text. They're unrighteous. Okay, the righteous are using the scale of Christ, his holiness, which is in the covenant. But the unrighteous ministers, okay, are using the record of their own gleaning. Okay, they're trying to glean on the commentaries of other people. Okay, they're gleaning from the tradition of man, by the commandments of men. Okay, the issues of the world. They want to bring revival by resolving the issue. No, that's never going to happen. Okay, but the beast will also make promises to try to resolve social issues. But every time he tries to resolve a social issue, God opens another gate of judgment. He sends out another angel with a vial. All right, or he asks the angel, okay, now blow the trumpet over there. So the angel blowing the trumpet, okay, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon the sins of men. Okay, that they are walking in contradiction to his covenant. Okay, they don't feel they're walking in contradiction to him. Okay, because they're looking at themselves to say, God is approving of our efforts to bring world peace. Okay, to bring harmony to the earth. Okay, to stop hurting the earth. Okay, so we're trying to bring economic equity. We're sharing our wealth with the nations. Okay, we're trying to bring equity to all things. Okay, so the sinner is trying to endeavor to bring the equity apart from his creator. But God says, I will do that. Okay, I will do that. I will bring the equity. I'm the one that's going to bring healing to the earth. Okay, when sinners try to bring equity to the earth, Okay, they stand against their creator. Okay, but when the righteous bring equity because of faith in him, there'll be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Okay, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Okay, so hide the word bewitched. So that's where we're talking about the seducing spirit. Okay, you're listening to the unconverted believer. Okay, the unconverted believer are saying that they love Jesus, but they're doing all things in contradiction to him. Okay, those which are walking in contradiction to Jesus are preaching a different Jesus. Okay, they're preaching the denominational Jesus. They're also mixing the covenants. Okay, mixing the covenants. They're following the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Okay, they're following the counsel of Balaam. They're standing in the principle of a Jezebel. So, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? See the word truth there? Which means truth is necessary for us to obey him. These facts are necessary. Facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. When we say facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan, we're talking about the work of regeneration. The work of regeneration mirrors Christ's sacrifice. Okay, being dead with him to live with him. Okay, we're talking about taking on the likeness of God. We're talking about it, taking on a different perspective. Okay, to know him. Okay, to know him. So we're talking about the truth here. Facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. When he says what he does in his product. Okay, the threefold cord. The threefold cord. Government, truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts and the callings and grace of God. Okay, are those things which are necessary in order for us, okay, in order for us to be consistent to him, to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to be rewarded of him. So, O foolish Galatians, the knowledge that you are presently embracing are denying you access to the gates of God. Okay, they're denying you access to the gates of God. The fool stands before the gate. He refused to open his mouth. Okay, when a fool refuses to open his mouth, what he's saying is that the fool refuses to confirm. The fool refuses to confirm. So the fool opens not his mouth at the gate. Okay, even though they want to go in, but they can't go in on the premises of their own person or worthiness. You must put on the garment to be there. Okay, and what did the Lord say to those which do not have a garment? How did you get in here? Okay, and he says, take this person, bind him hand and foot, and throw him outside. This man has not on a garment. Okay, so that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes, Jesus Christ, see the word eyes there. Okay, because the before whose eyes we're talking about now is concerning this perspective of Jesus Christ. Before whose eyes the perspective of him in this record has been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. See, we just talked about that. Crucified among you. Okay, those which are the seed of Abraham bear this sign. Okay, the sign is that seal. What is the seal? The sign of the seal, which has to do with the anointing. How is this possibly manifested? Through the speaking of tongues. Okay, through the speaking of tongues and the building of the house of God through charity. Okay, not speaking of tongues just itself, because even Ishmael was circumcised, but he was asked to leave. He was cast out. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings that out. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Okay, because the son of the bondwoman should not be heir of the son of the free woman. Okay, we see that when Paul brings that and expounds on that in Galatians chapter 4. Okay, so those verses, verse 29, chapter 4, verse 29. But as then he, Ishmael, that was the older, that was born of the flesh, as Hagar, that's to rule by the principle, he persecuted him, that means to control by the moral code, he persecuted him, which is Isaac, that was born after the Spirit, being the younger. Even so, it is now. That's what Paul said. You see the pattern? The pattern is repetitive. Okay, as it happened then, 3,000 years ago, it's happening today. Okay, 3,000 years in the future. Okay, 3,000, 4,000 years in the future. Okay, history is repeating itself, that those which are born after the Spirit will be persecuted, those which are following after the pattern of the flesh, the record of man. Okay, even though they are circumcised, okay, as Ishmael, okay, even though people today speak in tongues, yet if they don't come in a covenant with God, their circumcision becomes uncircumcision. Okay, there are many of those which are circumcised but walk after their own eyes. Okay, only those which are walk in the covenant, even as David. David walked according to the terms of the covenant, and his circumcision was valid His circumcision was valid because he served God by the covenant, by faith in the covenant. Okay, but the Pharisees also were circumcised, but their service to God was according to the force of the flesh. Okay, the perspective of the world. Okay, the tethering of the parchment, the covering of the leaves. And when Jesus came, okay, he manifested their nakedness. He manifested their nakedness because the light manifests the flesh. It means that the light shows the nakedness, okay, of the sinner. Okay, the light also exposes the state of the conscience. And the Apostle Paul brings out, for what makes manifest is the light.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.